She's a Grammy Award-winning singer, songwriter, and instrumentalist, perhaps best known as one of the two Indigo Girls. But Amy Ray also has a busy and prolific solo career, and she's taken some time out of a touring schedule to share some music and conversation with Wisconsin Public Radio listeners. Welcome, Amy.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, and I should say you're not alone. You have brought a whole contingent with you. We have four other folks here with you, including Allison Martlew, who normally plays bass, and you'll be singing today, and we have Jen Stone, who's playing our Mason and Hamlin grand piano, and you probably normally play synthesizers and things like that, right? But you'll be singing as well today. Melissa York, who is the drummer normally with a big drum kit, and today you've got, looks like, an empty mandolin case and a tambourine and possibly a shaker that we'll hear. And Kaya Wilson, who's a guitarist normally, but we'll just hear vocals. Okay, great.
Yeah, that's the band.
That's the band, and it's a little bit stripped down from what you're doing on your tour.
Yeah, I mean, what we're doing on tour is a rock show, really, just full-on electric with, lots of noise and melody in between.
Well, you're good at melody. You're good at lyrics. Well, this is your sixth new solo CD, is that correct?
Yeah, I got four studio ones and a couple live, yeah.
And what's the name of it?
Long of Love.
Long of Love. Okay. Is there a story behind that? How did you come up with that title?
There is a song on it called Long of Love, and it's kind of, it's about that sort of struggle between our physicality and, like, the spirit that sort of wants to rise above it, you know, and just wanting to be, I think, in more places at one time than you can be and wanting to do more than you can do, and also sort of the way I offer my connection, I guess, is just through singing, maybe, and breathing the same air that everybody else breathes.
Yeah, I guess in a yoga tradition, you know, it's the breath that connects us to everyone else and connects us to spirit. And
sure is.
Do you do yoga or meditate or anything like that?
I do yoga, actually. I do. I started doing yoga about 6 years ago.
Does that help with playing and singing?
You know what? I noticed it does help with my singing. I started doing yoga on Indigo Girl tours, and I started doing it just because of lack of time. I would do it right before we went on for an hour, and I noticed that my breath support got so much better. And it was kind of an accidental thing, and I was like, I'm gonna keep doing this, because it definitely made me sing louder. And like our soundman was like, you know, wow, you're singing so much louder than you normally do, in a good way, I guess. But yeah,
gives you power, controlled power.
It's an awesome thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Well, why don't we hear that title track to start with?
Yeah. All right. We'll do it.
Lung of Love. This is Amy Ray and her band.
1, 2, 3, 4.
I left a kiss in the dark so you'd know where I'd been. I left a light in my heart so you could find your way in. Even though you've been there before, it's been so long since you come through the door. And I thought I needed to remind you. I'm here to say it's alright. I know this globe spins you round. And offer compensation for the sun and the moon. Everything I missed in between. Oh, honey, even though I wanted to bring all of the magic that I found in this world. Sorrow we feel, we come by it honestly. So gather me up in your arms and take me anywhere that don't feel like. like losing. This for you, this world is dapper and new.
Love, the title track from Amy Ray's brand new solo CD. Boy, that sounds great in an acoustic version with the piano and kind of light percussion and acoustic guitar.
Versatile band.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I love the vocals. I've always loved the harmonies that have been on nearly everything that you've ever done. Did you grow up singing in a choir or chorus or anything
like
that?
Yeah. Well, in my family, we all sung and we took piano when we were young. It was the rule. And then I was in church choir. I mean, that's really where it came from initially. I had a really great choir director from the time I was about 10, and stayed in there probably till I was about 18. And then Emily and I were in high school together and both singing in the chorus, and that's where we really started singing together. So we both had that, you know, that counterpoint singing and all the kind of stuff that we grew up with, and, you know, the choir sort of style.
Yeah, nice shout out to school music programs.
Yeah, there. I mean, for sure, for sure. That's what did it, you know, and church programs too, you know, people that fund their choirs and stuff.
Well, we have a very strong organization here in Wisconsin, Wisconsin School Music Association, and lots of activity. And as a result, we have wonderful young bands and lots of a very vibrant music scene in the state.
Yeah, you do. You have a great music scene here. You have great arts here, generally speaking, and activism and community and independent businesses. It's a good state. There's a lot of quality of life here.
We are really, really lucky.
Yeah.
Yep. We're certainly glad you're here. Well, you mentioned activism, and that's something that I know is close to your heart. What kinds of things are you into these days, Amy?
Well, obviously, with, you know, the elections coming up, there's a lot of issues coming up, and I think three things, really. Immigration issues. In Georgia, we passed a really bad law that kind of followed in the footsteps of Arizona, and Alabama passed it too, and South Carolina had passed a similar one, and we're just, you know, we're working on pieces of that, you know, trying to kind of support organizations that help with overriding sort of the fear that all the immigrants feel, and looking at things like protections for people that suffer from domestic abuse or abuse on the job, or ways that when you're disenfranchised, you don't have the full protection. So supporting groups that do a lot of really great work in that area. And then obviously working on a lot of queer issues, especially with the North Carolina Amendment 1 battle that happened, and then Obama stepping up for us. So that was kind of cool. And a lot of my work, me and Emily both, we work still with an organization called Honor the Earth that we founded with
Winona. You co-founded that, right?
Yeah, with Winona LaDuke, a good great Native activist, Anishinaabe from White Earth Land, the White Earth Reservation. And, you know, it's interesting because there's a lot of mining issues up here now and a lot of issues coming up in northern Minnesota as well, in Michigan. And what we do is we support groups that are already doing work. So we step in when a community says we need help, and we help leverage sometimes political support or financial support for people working on issues. And Wisconsin has been very successful in fighting a lot of mining issues. So it's going to be an interesting couple years coming up, I think. And then with the tar sands happening as well. So there's been some victories and some losses, but Honor the Earth is definitely going strong. We just gave out our winter docket, which was a couple $100,000 of grants, and we just, a couple times a year, we do grant making, and then the rest of the time we're doing projects and programs, and it's all around cultural sustainability, youth, resilience in communities, a lot of food issues, and a lot of issues to change the energy paradigm. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. But it's all on honortheearth.org. It's a website. We have a website and everything. So
honortheearth.org.
Yeah.
Well, that's a big nutshell, Amy.
Yeah, I guess it is.
In your new CD, do you have any sort of songs that speak to your activism?
You know, I wrote a song, not about anything I was working on specifically, but the earthquakes in Haiti really, the way we handled that situation, the good and the bad of it, just made me think a lot about our relationship with Haiti and kind of, and generally relationships that happen within that realm of kind of people stepping in to help and sort of the way we deal with each other. And so I wrote From Haiti, which was kind of like a them speaking to us kind of song.
As we come to the rescue.
Yeah. Yeah. You want us to play it?
That'd be great.
Okay.
From Haiti.
Yes, we go walking in that rubble.
Song from a brand new CD by Amy Ray called Lung of Love. If you're just joining me, you're listening to Simply Folk. I'm Stephanie Elkins, and I've been listening to you, particularly Indigo Girls, for a long, long time. I'm one of those many, many mediocre guitar players who...
like me.
I wouldn't say that. Who's been singing and playing your words and your music for a long time. And
wow.
It's touched me. I know it's influenced me and a lot of my friends. What is your songwriting process, and has that changed over the years? Do you write by yourself? Do you collaborate? How does it work for you now?
I don't collaborate. I'm on this, well, on Lung of Love, actually, there were a few songs that I had not finished that I had hit a wall with where I didn't have a chorus finished or the bridge needed to be rewritten. And the producer, Greg Griffith, stepped in and helped me. So that was actually the first time I've really done that. So typically I write alone, and in the Indigo Girls, Emily also writes alone, and we come together and work for a couple months on arrangements. And then it becomes the Indigo song, kind of. I guess probably after I started making solo records, I realized I needed to be a little more prolific, and I just was kind of lazy, honestly, and just sort of had that process of like waiting for the muse to hit me and drinking a beer, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not a good process, but so I started reading a lot of books about writing and learning sort of a discipline, and now probably maybe 70% of the year I am writing about 5 days a week, a few hours a day at least.
Wow, so it really is a discipline process.
Yeah, once I start, like I'm starting to write again, and once I start, like I devote time to it. It's the only way I can do it now. And I had read a book by Stephen Keating. Stephen King wrote a book called On Writing that was kind of autobiographical, and it was sort of about his process, and it totally changed me, actually. That book and Anne Lamott, Bird by Bird, and Writing Down the Bones, and then for a couple of years I really made a concerted effort to like take in information from other people about their process and work on writing exercises and all that, and it helped me. It changed my game a lot, you know. And
wow.
Yeah, because I was like, I'm not keeping up with Emily. I got to do something, you know.
Well, you graduated from Emory, right? Mm-hmm. What, did you have you had a degree in English, I think I read? English and religion.
English and religion, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I had an English teacher in seventh grade that really influenced the way I think about writing as well. And, I think read a lot of, I spent a lot of time taking classes with African-American literature and Southern literature. And, definitely, I learned about images and trying to make images unique and the idea of metaphor and irony and all those things. But my religion major helped me just as much because it gave me a sense of the relativity of things and the way, you know, all of us are interconnected and history and philosophy. And that helps with songwriting a lot because it gives you a different perspective.
And it sounds like that has informed your music a lot. That's run through all of the songs, at least the ones that I know. Most.
Yeah, me and Emily both were well steeped in religion in one way or the other, so it's part of our vocabulary, like it or not, it's there. Like, you know, I was raised Southern Methodist, and Emily was raised in a house with a dad that's a theologian, so she was on the left wing and I was on the right wing, but we met in the middle, and now we're both left wing, I guess.
What would you like to do next?
I don't know, what do y'all feel like doing? You want to do something, let's do something completely off topic. Greg, help me finish this one.
I got a girl so special, she makes the fall turn spring. I say everything is dying, she says everything is free. She's got a real good equation for the suffering I see. She says the more you let it in, all the less it bleeds. She's a little revolution in my broken heart. It's like being born new when it blows apart. Kids say, oh, they think I'm growing old. Yeah, but I got a little secret that makes me feel so bold. But there's a little Joe Strummer in my DNA, and a little Annie Breedlove to take me a long way. And it's a little revolution in this heart of mine.
One of the more raucous ones.
Yeah, Little Revolution. The more you let in, the less you bleed. Is that the line? That yeah, it's a great line. Great lyrics in that song.
Thank you.
I want to ask about your relationship with the Indigo Girls and your record label and your solo work. How does that all work out? Is it all interrelated, or do you keep them kind of separated?
I compartmentalize to a certain degree just to get things done, I think, and to, like, focus and stuff. But generally I do that. I try to just be where I am because it helps me get it all done. But they do inform each other. I mean, I started Damon Records in 1989 after I got signed. We got signed to Epic, me and Emily, and I just wanted to stay tied to the indie community and had a lot of friends in bands and wanted to put records out. So for a long time, I just put other people's records out. We put about 60 out. And then
60 records out?
Yeah.
Wow.
And we did a lot of activism. We did a lot of community work in Atlanta with the music scene and had a lot of, you know, music nights and stuff and tried to have all ages shows and things like that. But in the last, you know, 5 years or so, it's really just focused on putting my records out to try to kind of amass enough capital to put other people's music out. I have a bunch of really active titles, Utah Phillips, John Trudell, some really cool stuff. And a lot of musicians that were on my label, I just let them go because they were doing as much for themselves as I could do for them. And I just, you know, it's different now. You know, the landscape's so different. So my labels had to evolve in that way. And, you know, Indigos are independent now too. So it's kind of come full circle. We have our own label and we just put our own records out on it. It's really Vanguard's resources, actually. But yeah, I just, like, every few years I put a solo record out and tour and just try to kind of work in the gaps, I say, you know. And Emily always, she likes a break too, so she doesn't mind if I go off and do stuff. She has other things she wants to do. So for us, it's a great thing. It works out really well.
And Damon was you set that up as a nonprofit, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Although I called it a not-for-profit because I wanted to do political work, so... Yeah, all the resources go back to other records, and you know, if we have extra money, we give grants to, like, even if I can't put a record out, I'll just give somebody money to put their record out, or a theater needs, you know, $500 or something. So we work in it's a loose kind of not-for-profit framework. Mm-hmm. It's always been kind of a co-op, and and I've had it once, at some points I've had four employees, at some points I've had just me. It just depends on what's happening.
Well, very community-minded.
Yeah. It's a community model, definitely. There's no doubt, yeah. I learned a bunch of that stuff from the Indian communities that we work with, too, you know, and just how they organize. And the punk community taught me a lot of phone calls to Ian MacKay from Fugazi, asking him how to do what I'm doing. So, yeah, lots of help from people.
Excellent. Well, we operate on that model as well.
I can see.
Yep, one contribution at a time from listeners all over the state. That's... Yeah. Pretty much how we fund ourselves, or the largest portion of our budget. So but we do it all together.
Yeah, public radio is awesome.
Yeah, oh, I'm glad to hear you say that.
Of course, I love it.
What would you like to do next?
Let's do I Didn't. Here's a
is there a story behind this song?
Sort of. I mean, this is one of those relationship songs. It seems really dark, but it's more about kind of rising above your past and all the things that you could blame everything on, and trying to, you know, reinvent and evolve in your relationship. And it could be a love relationship, and it can be a friend relationship too, and parent child too, I think. So try to apply it to everything. All right. 1, 2, 3. Say we got this mountain we have to climb. I'm hungry and out of time. I never got enough sleep. And now I'm wondering if you'll wake up one day by some sea and think about me. I left you with a handful of love songs, the reason to be free.
and someone broke your heart. I didn't. Someone played too hard. I didn't. Someone stole your dreams. I didn't. Someone got there a long time before me. I've known them all my life. I still can't see the light. And someone broke your heart.
I didn't.
Someone played too hard.
I didn't.
Someone stole your dreams. I didn't. Someone got it a long time before me. So you got every reason to be broke down, but I'm not hanging around, but just looking for a fight to make all that hurt seem right. With so many reasons to be free, you can count on history to give us one more chain that binds, something to remind us that someone broke your heart. Someone played too hard.
I didn't.
Someone stole your dreams.
Didn't. What a great song.
Thank you.
Yeah. Wow.
Thank you so much.
My guest is Amy Ray. I'm Stephanie Elkins. You're listening to Simply Folk on Wisconsin Public Radio. And Amy, you mentioned that the landscape has changed quite a bit in the music industry since you and Emily got started with Indigo Girls. Do you do all the web stuff and tweeting and Facebook and iTunes and...
Yeah, we do all that. We definitely, I mean, I think those tools are great, you know. I think sometimes I can feel a little frenetic about it when I'm tweeting myself crazy. But I think they're good tools. I mean, I think that, you know, the music industry is like, in some ways, I mean, all that stuff, the same things that take us down help us grow, too. So we just have to use the tools in the right way, honestly. But it's the makings of a true evolution. You know, to have the power in our own hands and the gatekeepers to be us.
That's right. You're direct. There's nothing between you and listeners and music appreciators.
It's a good thing. I mean, you know, there's a lot of negative things and people gripe about it, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, you know, it's there. So you might as well use it and get on with it. You know, that's how I look at it.
We'll have a link to your website and your Facebook page and all of that at simplyfolk.org. We have room for about two more songs.
Okay.
What would you like to do next?
Let's do a song called "Bird in the Hand." It's kind of a hoboing song.
a hoboing song?
Yeah.
You get influenced there by Utah a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, Utah has definitely influenced me big time. This is just kind of that, you have this wanderlust. I'm sort of talking about the conflict between the intimacy of the road and the intimacy of your life at home. You know, they're both very powerful intimacies, and they're different, you know? And so I wrote a song about it. And then I was reading Woody Guthrie's biography by Joe Klein, and it totally was like, yeah, I wish I'd read that before I wrote this. But anyway, it's a great book. It's old, but it's a... But I just now got around to it. But this is called Bird in the Hand.
Talking sweet to the lonely hobos on the street. And baby, don't want me riding the rails, watching the dawn come in while the prairie breaks some bends. Sitting by the roadside fires, talking in a quiet way until the night expires. And baby, don't want me roping up the raft, watching the waterways like some long lost river rat. Selling the lovesick troubadour and a huckleberry hound. And baby, don't want me leaving at the tender hour, oh, when my heart beats honestly and the vine blooms on the bower.
Song. Wow. A lot of imagery. Your words are so evocative. They just conjure up pictures.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
Do you write so poetry just for the sake of writing poetry sometimes?
No. I mean, I wish I was that good. That's a sacred art form to me. So I read a lot of it, but I don't write it. I write a lot just in a book, you know?
Mm-hmm. Capture lyrics and feelings and things.
Yeah, it's like a lyric journal. It's mm-hmm. kind of just, it's like carrying around a, you know.
Yeah, yeah. You never know when you're going to go back to it and use it for a song or that sort of thing.
That's what I use.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Well, we talked a little bit earlier about your upbringing as a Southern Methodist and singing in the choir. And some of your music does have that feeling of Appalachian and gospel to it. And we're going to hear for the last song something right along those lines. You've put down the guitar and picked up the mandolin.
I like to write these little ditties at soundcheck usually, and they turn into songs sometimes. I live in the mountains too. I've lived in the mountains for about 20 years now, so I'm around a lot of players all the time, but they're not here. But
it's so a lot of bluegrass, like bluegrass type players.
Yeah, a lot of an Appalachian, you know, which is a slightly more primitive form of that.
Yeah.
But this is definitely inspired by all those folks.
Oh, the rock is my foundation. Jesus is at the base. God is on the kick drum, and the Holy Spirit sings. Oh, I will not be troubled in the daytime, and I will not be troubled in the night. Is that first? My final prayer. Oh, the rock is my foundation. Jesus is at the base. God is on the kick drum, and the Holy Spirit sings. All my life I've been a sinner. All my life I've gone astray. All sinner, hang on. Yes, sinner, hang on. You're gonna have your judgment day. All sinner, hang on. Yes, sinner, hang on. You're gonna have your glory day.
Rock is my foundation. Amy Ray on mandolin and also boot stomps.
Yeah, I can't beat Tom without doing that.
Oh, just great music. We are so grateful that you came by here at Wisconsin Public Radio. You have a lot of fans in the Upper Midwest, and thanks for everything you're doing musically and otherwise.
Thanks for having us. This is an awesome opportunity to be able to play acoustically and be on a great public radio station. We really appreciate it, honestly. We don't get a lot of opportunities, so it's really fun for us.
Well,
so
thank you very much, Amy. Keep us up to date on what you're up to.
All right.
And we've got a link up to your Facebook page and your web page and everything else at simplyfolk.org.
Okay.
My guest has been Amy Ray, and we also heard from Allison Martlew, and Jen Stone was playing the piano. We heard from Mel York. She was doing percussion here, and Kaya Wilson on vocals. Thank you all very much for coming. We sure appreciate it.
Thank you.